Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Jehovah Jireh, he is my provider. And I know, even though the doctors may diagnose the case, the nurses may administer the medicine, but the healing got to come from God. I want you to know that you may plant the seed, another may water, but God has to give the increase. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis B., the Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Pastor Bill, should be so kind to give us a word of prayer, and we'll get further to the lesson. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And Pastor, thank you for that selection. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Amen. He's our everything. And the scripture I'd like to share coming from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we're giving you thanks, and we're thanking you for this broadcast, thanking you for our listeners and all those who participate, thanking you for our pastor, Father God. We ask that you will continue, Lord, to be with him, strengthen him, guide him, and continue to lead him in truth, Father God, as he teaches truth unto us, Father God. Lord, we just thanking you for your healing, Father God, for you sending your word by your stripes. We are healed. We're standing on that word today, Father God, because we know your word is faithful. Your word is true, Father God. Be with those who are bereaved and those who are going through, Father God. We know you're a way maker out of no way, and all we have to do is trust in you and believe in your word, and allow the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us. Father God, we ask that you will just be with all those who've asked us to keep them in prayer, those that are listening by internet, Father God. You're a way maker out of no way, Father God, for your word tells us to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. So let us have word in our hearts, Father God. And, Lord, as we receive our lesson today, Father God, we ask that you would just open up our hearts and our minds to receive it and continue to strengthen our pastor and touch him in his body and heal him totally and completely from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Father God, and continue, Lord, to walk with him and be with him in all things. And we're thanking you, Father God, for your word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you for the prayers. And truly, we're talking about the true church, not the ones that are made by wood or brick. We're talking about the true church, And we start this week by talking about truth. And, you know, we got to know that we're serving a true God. If you're not serving a true God, what kind of God are you serving? Either he's true or not. And going up in some building is not the true God. Now, I know in your mind you think that, because I used to think that, but it's not the truth. The truth of the matter is God is a jealous God. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't want you to be 50-50, halfway believing in the building and halfway believing in him. It's okay to go in the building, and it's okay to believe in him. Now, he said you're either hot or you're cold. If you're not, he spewed you out of his mouth. So you're going to either get with it or you're not. You're going to either be the church and stop playing church, or you're going to play church and you can't be church.
All right.
You might want to say that.
All right.
To you, huh?
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, you got to do either or. You know, what the church is and what the church is not. And we've been talking about the true church all week. So we're going to talk a little bit about the truth today. We may have 3-4 different parts here. We're going to deal with truth a little bit. And let's start with St. John 17:3. St. John 17:3. I ask Evangelist Sharon to share read that.
St. John 17:3. Good afternoon, everyone. Praise God. Thank you for the selection, Pastor. And thank you for that prayer, Pastor Bell. I love you dearly. Yes, your prayers just touch me in such a way. Yes. Okay, John 17:3 reads as follows. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen.
Why don't you read 4:2 while you're there?
Okay, Pastor. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Amen.
Amen. And from the Message Bible, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. Amen, amen.
We have to know God. And the way you get to know him, began to identify who Christ is. Remember the truth? Jesus said, who the man says that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. And then Jesus said, okay, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, you got to get to know the Father so he can reveal to you who Christ is as the head of the church. That's the truth. The true and living God has to do it. Your pastor can't do it.
Amen.
I know you may think you can, and you may think the building and the hoopla and the choir, but sister, it takes God Almighty to show you this revelation to who Christ is. You would think everybody has it, but they don't, because everybody doesn't see Christ as the head of the church. They don't. Mm-hmm. And the enemy has put so many things there. Matter of fact, it's kind of hard to be taught that Christ is the head of the church. When you get through looking at the pastor, the deacon, the mother board, and all these other boards, I mean, one has to wonder, who is the head of the church?
And
when you get ready for money, you got to go to the trustees. And then the deacon can't overrule the trustees when it comes to money. And then when it comes to spiritual things, they should go to the deacon. See, it's so confusing, brothers and sisters. We got one head, which is Christ, okay? That's the truth, the only truth. Christ, God, God said Christ is the only way. We don't look at two other truths, then we're going to go. Well, understand this first, because over in Hebrews 10, you got to know we're living in a true and living way. So in Hebrews 10, y'all excuse me, in Hebrews 10, I want to say it's in the 20th verse, Hebrews 10 and 20, and maybe 21.
Hebrews 10, 20 and 21, and the King James reads as follows. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
No, you've been sprinkled with the blood, his own blood. That's what freed us. That's what freed our conscience. Most people don't have a free conscience. They'll tell you they do, but they don't. They're guilty. They got a guilty conscience. And the Bible says in Romans 8 and 1, therefore now is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, we walk after the Spirit, so we don't have that condemnation conscience. We don't live there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do, we need to draw near with a true heart.
Mm-hmm.
A true heart.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not a heavy heart, but a true heart. That's how you deal with God. You got to deal with God on the truth, brothers and sisters. That's just the way it is. Having therefore boldness to enter into that holy by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. This is a new and living way. It starts with the truth. He consecrated it for us through his own flesh. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, brothers and sisters, since he opened up this new way, this new, just not a new way, but a new and living way. Living is continuation of life. So you don't do the old thing, you do the new thing, and you continue to do it, if that makes sense to you.
Yes.
Yes.
Right through eternity. Praise God.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. See, that's what this is about. It never stops. That's why you got to hold fast to your profession, your faith in Christ. You can't waver.
That's right.
You can't waver on God's promises. You got to, okay, Lord, I see what you said. You said Christ is the head. Then that's what I'm going to follow. That's what I'm going to believe.
That's right.
I don't ask people to put faith in me. I don't want anybody out here to put faith in me. I want you to put faith in the word of God, and I want you to see it for yourself and pray that God will let you see it. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You pray that God will let you see it.
Yes, Lord.
Because your eyes don't become open to this glorious gospel. You can never see a glorious Christ. Woo, I need to say that one more. See, unless your eyes become open to the glorious gospel, you can't see the glorious Christ who's sitting at the right-hand side of the Father. That's where he's at.
Yeah.
That's what she just read. That's why you're to set your affection on the church above. Hello, somebody. Let me slip that
one in
one more time. You're to set your affection on the church above.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Not on the church beneath. Matter of fact, I'm going to go read that now. In Colossians 3, 1, 2, 3. I'm going to ask the evangelist to read that and then ask pastor to read it out. See, where's your affection at? Is it on a building? The true church. There we go now. The true church. Don't get angry. The true church. He's telling you where to put your affection at. Christ is the head. Don't forget, this is about your eternal life.
Amen.
Yeah.
But you got to know the true and living God. And you got to know who Jesus Christ is. Who God sent. You can know this stuff. Not assume anything. The last thing you want to do is assume you're right. No, you want to know you've done what you were supposed to do. You did your due diligence.
Say that again, Pastor.
Amen.
Colossians 3, 1 through 3 in the King James.
In the King James,
and then it reads. You can read it in the Messenger Bible.
Amen.
In the King James, it reads as follows. And be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. How beautiful is that?
Yes, amen. From the Message Bible. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorb with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. Amen. He is your life. Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah. You may not be rich. You may be on these earthly kicks. You may be holding fast earthly church. Because Christ may not be the head of your church, your church. He may not be. But if he is, that's a possibility. If, because that's what the word is. It's a possibility. It could and it could not. And then it might and it may not. But if you've been risen, and you can't be risen until you've been crucified and buried.
Have
you killed all that old earthly stuff? Yeah. See, this is truth. Now, I'm trying to show you the true church, where it's at. You then be risen with Christ. See those things which is above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Messenger Bible put something out there? He said, these things which Christ died over, guess where they're at?
Yeah.
Then you said preside over.
Right.
That's what you said.
Pursue the things over which Christ presides. That's right.
So,
amen.
And then you just said that he's in heaven at the right hand side. So why are you here in this brick and mortar and clay and stuff? Well, why are you trying to seek God there? He's not there.
Oof.
Now, don't let your religion trip you up and have you thinking you can only go see God once a week. Now, that's something to laugh at right there.
That's hilarious.
It is. The churches, these organized churches, they only want you to see God once a week. Oh, they might throw something out there like, oh, yeah, we'll pray every day. But they don't want you. They don't want you seeking God, because if they did, they'll tell you, see Christ, which is above, who sitting at the right hand side of the Father. That's what you ought to be seeking. But it's all predicated on if you're dead. Because if you're dead, truly dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. See, God hadn't left nowhere, hadn't went nowhere.
That's right.
All right, say that.
Because you have died to this life. You died to this life. In other words, can I just make it real plain? You died to the church stuff, this organized church stuff. I know, but that just, that just rocks some folks' world. Well, so what? You know, hey, who cares? If you want the truth, this is what you got to deal with, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Then what you got to deal with. That's if you want the truth. That's if you want John 17. You know, you're going to, and that's the thing, too, brothers and sisters. You got to know the truth, man. Because that's what's going to set you free. And when we read Hebrews 10, this by a new and living way. I just love that, the way, the new way. So which new way are you doing? You still horse and buggy? Maybe that's a better way to put it. Are you still trying to drive these 1930 cars on a 70-mile-an-hour expressway, minimum 40? That's what you're trying to do? It don't work, people. You can't. You can't. We got a new and living way now.
Yeah.
We do. And this new and living way is in Christ. That's the real church, the true church. So listen, friend, don't throw all this stuff away that God has put in you. Don't throw it away. You can put confidence in it. You can put confidence in the fact that you can seek those things which is above. Where is it at? It's in Christ. And this word, seek, you got the real meaning of this word? Listen, brothers and sisters, you have to seek for something that's lost. It never ceases to amaze me how some of these little small words mean so much.
That's right.
If you're really seeking your affection, set your affection on things
that's
above.
Right.
Think about that one, if you will. Here's something you can do. You don't stop looking, seeking. Now I'm going to say it this way because I want you to understand it. When you seek for something, you might find yourself going back over the same place. You may find yourself going back in the same room. You may find yourself going back over some of the same tracks. When you seek, when you're really seeking, when you're really looking for it,
never
your
stop
focus
looking.
Need to be on Christ.
Amen.
You know, you're seeking for Christ now. That's what you're trying to pursue. And you don't know where it's at. But to seek as something had been lost, that's what you're trying to do. You're seeking for something that's been lost, that you got to find it. It's essential that you find it. Be your eyeglasses, be your tooth or your teeth. Or, I don't know, whatever you feel like you got to have, that's what this word seek means. That you're not going to leave without it.
That's
what it means.
That's right.
You're not going to leave without this. And
that's
meaning
right.
that you set your affection on things above. So while you seek it, put your affection on, it's telling you where to go to look. It's telling you.
Yeah.
So specific and direct.
Set your affection. Think about that. Set your affection. How you do that one? Because I notice when I'm thinking about set something, I think about I set the temperature. That's something I have to do. I go in there and set the stove to what time I want to come on. I go in there and set the alarm clock. That's something I have to do. It doesn't do it by itself. You're required to do this. In other words, when you set something, it's in your control, it's under your control, and it's all in your court, for a better way of saying. The ball is in your court, okay? So this is something you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's why I be trying to tell people, if God wanted you to go to church, he'll make it this plain. He'll tell you to go, but that ain't what he told you to do. Just like he tell you to set your affections on things above, and then he said this, and not on the earth, not on the church building. How about that one? See, I like to just bring it out there for you. Just put it out there to you. I want you to know, don't be setting your affection on things. Well, you know what? I want to join the choir. Boom, you just ruined it. I want to be on the usher board. Boom. Your affection. Let me tell you what, brothers and sisters. Y'all, this going to bother some of y'all, but it's okay. You know, you can have 2-3 different men. You can have 3-4 different women. But your affection can only be in one place.
Say that again, Pam.
Go ahead. Say that again. That's right.
You can have 5 or 6 bars, but where is your true affection at? I can tell you where it's at, the one you jump in all the time. It's plain to me.
Right.
See, you can have 3 or 4, you can have 3 or 4 men, but I know where your affection is at.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's easy. You have 3 or 4 women, but I know where your true affection is at. Well, see, your true affection needs to be on things above, which where Christ is at. That's where your heart needs to be at.
Hallelujah.
So go ahead on there. Put to death all this little worldly stuff. Go ahead on and get rid of it. I like to say get shed of it.
Please.
This stuff will hold you back, whatever it is. A lot of people just think it's sexual and adultery and covetous and uncleanness, and it's all those things. But, brother and sister, your religious life, your religion, I'm going to say this again, your religion will keep you from seeing God. That becomes your,
yes.
You see what I'm saying? That's what hinders you. There is a hindering spirit, and it knows what it has to do to hinder you, be it a car, be it a job, be it boyfriend, girlfriend, be it money. There's a hindering spirit. There are some things that will hinder you from going to the next level.
Yeah.
Hammer.
And you know what God called them? He called them children of disobedience. See, they got the thing, but they won't obey it. See, and that's the biggest problem. That was the problem with the Jews. They didn't want to obey. God told them what was going to happen, but they didn't want to obey it. They rather get them another Christ. And that's what happened to the Israelites. They said, well, you know what? We're going to build our own God. Because, see, there's a right way and a wrong way. We'll let this scripture, we don't necessarily have to be the last one. But in 2 Peter 2:15, and that's what I want on 2 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter 2:15, that's fine.
Second Peter 2:15.
Yes.
Thank you. In the King James, it reads as follows: Second Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Amen. Have mercy.
Mm-hmm. Have mercy. And from the Message Bible, they've left the main road and are directionless, having taken the way of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophet who turned prophet, a connoisseur of evil. Have mercy. Mm.
Yeah, I want y'all to hear this again. In 2 Peter 2:15, the people have to spoken the truth the right way.
Mm.
The right way. See, there is a right God and a wrong God. There's a right way and a wrong way.
Yeah. So true.
I like the way that other virgin said, they're always looking for an adulterous woman. And when he's talking here, spiritually, don't forget now, we're spiritually, he's talking about the church has been described as a woman anywhere in the Bible. That's what it is. I'm telling you. Even the bride of Christ. See?
Yeah.
So if Christ coming back for his bride, then the artificial or let's see how you want to put this. There's an imitator bride out there.
Okay.
Yeah, I better tell me to stop. But yeah. There's a true bride and there's an artificial bride. See, that true bride. Let me tell you what, a true bride don't have to have a veil on. You know that, right? Don't have to have a white dress on. The true bride.
All right. Come on.
See, some folks dress up, but they ain't really a bride. They ain't really a wife. They got the stuff, but they not a true bride.
Nope, they imitate anything on the show.
They fake it until they make it. They do it what it takes.
Yep.
All right.
They can't stop. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. The way of truth is, because I want to miss the point here, the way of truth is so important. And the way of truth is the right way. Do not go astray and follow the ways of Balaam.
Mm-hmm.
The son of Mosar, who love the wages of unrighteousness. They love that stuff. They love to go to the church building. You ask somebody, say, well, we had a good time. It's all, you don't go to church. The church ain't about no good time. Where that come from? Who told you that? Well, show me where the church is supposed to be about a good time. Everybody go to church. First, almost, not all of them, but most of them say, man, we sure had a good time. The choir sung good. They had a good time. Boy, them sick. The preacher preached good. You wouldn't know good if it slapped you in the face.
Have mercy.
But to your level, it was good. Because that's what you was expecting. You was expecting folks to act like they act and did what they did. Because you haven't heard the glorious gospel. The glorious gospel is designed to open your eyes, put you on the right track and on the main road and keep you in that direction. That's what it designed for, the glorious gospel, the true gospel.
Help
that's the
righteousness.
Why are you over there in 2 Peter right before I leave, y'all? Go down there to that 21st verse. I'm going to say that's where it's saying that 21st verse. Maybe I need to go see before I ask Evangelist Sharon to read it, but I think it's in the 21st verse. Okay, yeah, the 21st. 2 Peter 2:21.
Okay. In the King James, it reads as follows, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. But not to leave, I'm sorry, better not to have started out on the straight road to God than start out and then turn back.
Turn back. Okay.
Now let me show you what this means. A lot of people are sincere, even people who started churches, if they started in their living room or wherever, they were sincere. And they were sincere about God, and God began to give them revelation knowledge, and then they start listening to everybody else, especially that third party. But you get in a lot of trouble when you start listening to that third party. You want to see some home messed up because somebody listened to that third party. You want to see some families messed up, somebody listened. You want to see why Adam and Eve got messed up? They listened to that third party. But you'd been better off if you just continue. But they start listening to that third party. And that third party said, well, you know what? We ought to have a building like somebody else. Or we ought to have a church like, well, we can just start with a storefront. So they lose focus on God. I'm telling you, this is the way this works. And for you know, they began to serve the creation more than the creator. And they want to do it all in the name of the Lord because they see other people doing stuff. And they say, well, we want our church to be glamorous. We want to have the best. And why can't God have the best? See, they trying to offer stuff ain't even about God. God didn't ask them for all that. He didn't ask them for that. But they choose to offer that. But like Abel and Cain. See, Cain, he just offered what he wanted to offer. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. He offered what God wanted. He wants that body to become the holy temple. But instead, they want to offer to God what they want to offer to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't start it right, stay right. Somebody said, well, let's go and build. Well, go ahead and build your church because you can't build Christ's church. Christ built his own church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who say that?
Yeah.
And when you don't want to do what Christ said to do, the book of Proverbs say it's like a dog going back to his vomit. You done got the truth, now you want to go back to your vomit. Because that makes you happy. Yeah, y'all may not believe this, but folks that get into that organized church, and that's what they get into. See, ain't nothing else they could be talking about. They're talking about, because he tells us all the time to come out of the world.
Right.
Because why? Remember, let me say this to you, brothers. Remember, you're a citizen. The Bible says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also, we're waiting on the Savior to come to take it all and show everybody. But remember, we're a chosen generation. We're royal priesthood. We're seeking those things above, not the things beneath, you know. God has laid this love in our hearts. You know, you got to know you're a new nature now. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me now. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You got to identify with Christ, not with your building, not with your local church. Identify. You can't do both of them. Some folks want you to do both of them so they can keep their tithe coming. But that ain't the way that works, brother and sister. The Bible says even though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, that's where your affection is at. Even though people don't want to become like Jesus, but James 1:2-4 tells you, you got to count it all joy when you fall into all these various trials. Know that your testing is the testing of your faith. Brothers and sisters, you got to know that you are part of an eternal regime. I heard that word, a regime.
Yes.
You're part of an eternal regime. It won't stop. Mm-hmm. It's going to keep on coming.
Yes, God got
angels waiting. Recognize you got angels on the side of you right now. There been angels who took over your wheel or your car. That's a whole regime God has given you. No, you may not know. It's okay. God ain't going to stop. He's not going to stop blessing you because there's some place you got to get to in God, and he wants you there, and you will get there if you just hold on. If you just be steadfast in what you know right now, don't run off.
Yeah.
Like some of them.
Yeah.
I thank God for each and every one of you all, and y'all be blessed, and we'll get ready for the review.